I can think back to when I was a kid, my grandpa taught me to fish on Nisswa Lake. And we'd go to this small channel in the spring and catch a lot of sunfish. And Grandpa had one pretty simple rule. If the fish was bigger than his hand, it went into a 5-gallon bucket. If it was smaller, we let it go so it could grow up to be a big fish.
Many of us have memories similar to Dave Weitzel's. Catch a mess of nice sunnies, keep the big ones for a delicious meal, release the little ones. Dave is now Area Fisheries Supervisor for the DNR in northeastern Minnesota. He says for many years, we had a poor understanding of how angler harvest would affect the size of sunfish.
Grandpa really didn't understand fish biology. Back in those days, a lot of us really wouldn't have understood bluegill biology. The thing to keep in mind with sunfish is that they reproduce really well in most of our lakes. So there's a lot of opportunities for them to become overly abundant. When you remove big fish, the fastest way for the pounds of fish to be replaced is to have increased survival of small fish. Our two best examples in Minnesota would be sunfish and northern pike. These fish are really good at reproducing. Fish that don't reproduce well every year, like walleye or crappie, you tend not to see that stunting because there's natural gaps in year classes, and that leaves room for fish growth. But with these species that reproduce well, it's really easy for them to become overly abundant and to lose that growth potential. And then the other thing that the fish will do when they're in an environment where there's not a likelihood of them growing large, they'll actually change their biology a little bit and they'll spawn at a smaller size and a younger age. That gives the fish an advantage to get its offspring out into the world, but it comes at a cost, and it comes at a cost of growth because the energy that was going into growth now has to be used to produce eggs and sperm and through the efforts of reproduction. So when we estimate fish age from scales, for example, I can usually pick out when that fish spawned the first time. You'll see a big reduction in the growth rate once they reach spawning age. So it's kind of the removal of these larger fish has opened the door for fish to spawn at a younger age, and it's increased the number of small fish in the system. You do that over a long enough period of time and you begin to lose the potential to grow a large sunfish.
Anglers and fisheries biologists like Dave Weitzel have been aware of the decline in the number of big fish for some time now. Since 1996, the DNR has been conducting experiments on selected lakes to find a successful way to bring back big bluegills. Since the size and number of sunfish we catch and keep are the biggest factors in the decline of big fish, Weitzel also looked back at the different ways the state has regulated the sunfish harvest over the last 90 years.
And I was surprised to learn that our sunfish regulations were fairly conservative in the 1930s. In fact, back in those days, the daily limit was 15, and the state was split into a northern and southern zone, and these zones had seasons. And I was surprised to learn that that season included a long closed period. Most of the winter through early summer was closed to sunfish fishing. And for those of us that remember our history lessons from school, if you remember the 1930s, that was the height of the Great Depression. So I was kind of surprised to learn at the one point in our history that you could probably argue you really needed to keep every fish that you caught. People were willing to have much more restrictive limits than we have today. The big change came in the 1950s. 1954 was a particularly important year because that's when we went with the continuous year-round season. And at that point, the limit was 30. But that kind of kicked off an era where we did start to see these size quality declines. Most recently, the limit was changed from 30 to 20 in 2003. And that was due to angler concerns about a decline in average size. I think at the time the state was looking at maybe a 10-fish bluegill limit, but we did a lot of public input, and what we found is that most anglers wouldn't accept a 10-fish limit, but they would accept a 20-fish limit. At that time, biologists believed that that might help slow the decline of average size, and it seems that it has. Over the last two decades, the average size of bluegill has stayed around 6 inches in DNR surveys, but it hasn't gone far enough to actually improve size quality in lakes. It seems like we need to be a little bit more restrictive if we want to try to improve the size quality.
Does winter fishing, ice fishing, does that put much of a dent in the populations, you think?
Yeah, we do. Unfortunately, we don't have a lot of creel surveys on panfish lakes. But as anglers, I think we all know that ice fishing is as popular or more popular than it's ever been in Minnesota. There's a lot of great technologies that are out there, better portable fish houses, better augers, better sonar, and now the wheel houses that have really opened up ice fishing to a lot of people that traditionally might have stayed home. You couple that with better rods, reels, better, more sensitive lines, and sunfish get targeted a lot in the wintertime. You know, traditionally, people talked about sunfish harvest occurring kind of during that spring period. Maybe folks would go out and target bluegill before walleye season was open through early summer. Now, I think a lot of our lakes probably see the heaviest sunfish harvest during the wintertime.
Do you think anglers are aware of and would be receptive to a closed season? And you mentioned 10 is probably not a popular limit, but how about closing a season?
Yeah, closed seasons are really tough because it's hard to decide when to close the season. Traditionally, we've closed seasons to allow fish to spawn, but that's really difficult with bluegill because they're spring spawners, but they don't all spawn at once. So you'll have groups of fish that'll start spawning in May. Other groups might not spawn until July. And then the other thing is there's a big difference between northern Minnesota and southern Minnesota. So fish might start spawning around Mankato at the end of April, and they might be spawning around International Falls in July. So it would be a very long closed season to try to protect spawning fish. And then the popularity of the winter fishery would make it tough to have a winter closure. We've actually posed that question to our angling public through a mail-in survey that the University of Minnesota conducted about a year ago. And it was a pretty clear answer that folks really enjoy having year-round opportunities to go after sunfish. We also asked folks their opinion on the statewide limit. And most people thought the current 20 fish limit is about right. It seems like a fair number of fish to keep. And to be honest with you, there's a lot of lakes that don't have large sunfish where it's completely appropriate to harvest 20 sunfish. So the feedback that we got from the public is that they'd like us to take a harder look at lakes that have good biological potential to produce large bluegill and consider special regulations on those individual waters.
How long does it take for a bluegill to get to, well, certainly bigger than your hand, a good one that we could take home and get a couple of nice fillets?
Yeah, generally speaking, in a lake that has exceptionally fast growth, it's going to take a minimum of 6 years. In a lake with slower growth, they might reach the end of their natural lifespan and never grow that large. As a general rule of thumb, they grow about 1 inch per year. So statewide, on average, it takes about 8 years to grow an 8-inch bluegill.
Now, since 1996, the DNR has experimented with different regulations on selected lakes, in fact, one in my neighborhood. But what have you learned from those experiments?
Yeah, we've learned quite a bit, actually. The first thing that we've learned is that harvest can certainly be controlled, but that the statewide limit doesn't go far enough to protect or improve size quality. If our goal is to manage for size, we probably need to do something a little bit more restrictive. Generally speaking, there's a couple options that we've tried, a 5-fish limit or a 10-fish limit. The Panfish Tech Committee has recently reviewed a bunch of case studies on lakes that have had a regulation for at least 10 years. And the results are quite encouraging. On lakes that have had a 10-fish limit, it seems like we've maintained quality. Those lakes are as good as they've ever been. On lakes with a 5-fish limit, we've actually seen an improvement in size quality. In fact, average size has increased by about an inch, and we're seeing fish live to an older average age than we did prior to the regulation. So it seems like the 10-fish limit might be a good maintenance reg, and the 5-fish limit might be a good fixer reg for lakes where the public would enjoy opportunities to catch larger sunfish than currently exist in that system.
Regulations like that take a while to implement. Is there anything we could do now to help grow bigger bluegills on our particular lake before any regulations might be changed?
Yeah, and that's a great question. The reality is, if we choose to harvest smaller bluegill and take fewer of the big ones, we can solve the sunfish size issue without any regulations at all. It just takes us collectively deciding that this is what we want to do. So there's a lot of things that an individual angler can do. First off, only take what you need for a meal. You know, I can remember the days of fishing with my grandpa and going back and spending 2 or 3 hours bent over the picnic table cleaning all these fish. Sure, we had a wonderful fish fry, but I think just about every time we looked at each other and asked, why did we keep so many fish? This was way more than we needed. You know, it's really tempting when those fish are biting so well, it's tempting to keep them. But really think about how many do you really need? The other thing to keep in mind, if you do want to keep a lot of fish, a high number of fish, keep some of those fish under 7 inches. It's a lot easier to replace those fish. First off, bluegill tend to overproduce small fish, and it doesn't take as long to grow one. So they're easier to replace. It's more of a renewable resource compared to those big 8 or 9 inch fish. Also, release the large spawning males. Bluegill are nest builders, and they'll spawn in large colonies. The biggest males tend to get the best habitat. And because of that, these large males act as size quality control. It kind of encourages the smaller males to delay their maturation and to grow to a larger size because they want an opportunity someday to get that better habitat. So it seems like protecting the large males is really key. The unfortunate thing with the large males is they'll be in these big colonies, which is very visible, especially in a clear lake. And if you go out with a fly rod or spinning gear, every single one of those males can be caught. They're biting out of aggression more than out of hunger. So if we're keeping those fish, it's really opening the door for these smaller bluegill to be able to reproduce at a younger age. And that's not what we want to see in these systems. And I know that small sunfish aren't for everyone. Some folks just don't have an interest in harvesting bluegill or under 7 inches. And that's fine. You know, just a good general rule of thumb, don't keep more than about 5 fish over 8 inches. You know, that's kind of my personal rule. Anything over 9, I'll let go.
Dave Weitzel, he's Area Fisheries Supervisor for Itasca County in Western St. Louis County, talking with us about sunfish today. Dave, thanks a lot for coming in.
Thank you for having me.